Good morning. It is wonderful to be gathered here once again as God's family in this place. And family is always fun, aren't they? Absolutely. We never disagree. We never have rough times. We never argue, fight, spat, judge each other, ever. And we'll be talking more about that later. But the thing is this, that while this family isn't always easy, this family is an incredible gift from God. You know, a bunch of people who love us and who we love, even when we're crabby and you know, grumping at each other, we know that when the chips are down, we love each other and we will help each other pull through. We will encourage one another, as the Bible says, you know, encourage each other every day as long as it is called today, until Jesus comes for us again. And that is what this family is all about. And so as we are gathered as the family of God, let us remember the day that we were adopted into this family through the incredible gift of baptism, as we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand. O God, you are our rock and our redeemer, our fortress and our strength. I pray that we would turn to you in all times of trial and strife, looking ever to you to be our source of strength and security. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
A mighty fortress is our God, of a work never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood.
Rejoice, the humble poor believe. Glory Good morning. On this crisp, cool autumn day, my name is Jeff Rabe, and I'm one of your elders here at St. Mark's. And the first reading this morning is from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Their own load. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from Matthew's Gospel, the 18th chapter. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector." At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message.
Good morning, friends. How are we today? Coming on down. It's so good to see you all. Well, I have a question for you. Who here has ever done anything wrong before? What do we call that? Very good, sin. So you know what I was thinking? I'm tired of sinning. I want to fix that. So I brought with me today a sinner. But guess what? We're all sinners, aren't we? Right? We're all sinners. We all do things wrong, but I was thinking, like, what can we do? So, for example, who here, can everyone stick out their hands? Maybe sometimes with our hands, if you have brothers or sisters, maybe you've given someone a little push. So, you know what I was thinking? Let's just not use our hands anymore. Hold on. Now he won't push or shove his friends or, you know, whatever. So you guys, let's just not use our hands. Then we don't have to worry about sinning with our hands anymore. Does that sound good? Or, you know what? Who here has ever said something a little bit I would say, kind of sassy to your parents or to your friends. What do you think? Point to your mouth. Let's just not use our mouth anymore. We don't want to hurt someone. Boop. Let's just not use that. Then we don't have to worry about sinning. I think that'll help. What else do you think? Oh, maybe we've stayed up too late before. We weren't supposed to be like staying up watching TV or playing video games. So let's cover our eyes so we don't sin. Sometimes we sin with our eye. Okay. Almost. Oh, what about our feet? Have you ever kicked anybody before? Oh, we better not sin with our feet. Let me just take care of that. All better. Now I don't think Oscar's going to sin. Do you think? No. Is this the way God wants us to live? No. Because what can we do with our eyes? We can look at God's beautiful creation, right? And we can see all the wonders that he made. What can we do with our mouths? We can pray. We can tell others about him. We can sing glorious hymns and music and song. What about our hands? What can we do with our hands? Yeah, we can serve our community, pick up trash, help those in need, right? And our feet, we can walk to tell others the good news. We can use our feet for a lot of good things too. And I was going to do our ears. We can also hear the word of God, right? God has freed us from our sin because we all do things that aren't right, don't we? We do. But what did Jesus do for us? He died on the cross to forgive us from our sins. And you know what else is such a blessing? He has also given us family and other Christian friends here on earth to help one another when we sin as well. And what a blessing it is that we get to live this life together. Even though we sin, God loves us and God forgives us. And we want to tell everyone this news, don't you think? Yes, let's pray. Dear Jesus, I just thank you so much for your incredible gift of love and grace and forgiveness. Lord, every day we make mistakes, and it's such a blessing to know that we have family and friends to help us, but most importantly, that you sent your one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. In your name we pray, and all God's children said, amen. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you so much, Lauren. And kiddos, you guys can all head to Little Worship as long as it's okay with your parents. Double check. Make sure. And the rest of us, let's open God's word for us today. So the church, a lot going on there, right? I mean, you have to remember where this whole thing started, right? The church, we are a people gathered together because Jesus died for us. You understand that? That Jesus died not just to forgive our sins so that we can live forever, but part of the fruit of his death and resurrection is that we have new life in him, and that means that we get to live together. We are now the family of God, and we support each other like a family. We take care of each other. We help each other. We support. We talk to each other. We encourage. We're kind, loving, sweet, and we help each other overcome all the different obstacles of life. Right? All of that is true. But there's also difficulties that we face as family. There's difficulties we face within the family of God because, well, two things. Number one, we're not all alike. If we were all alike and agreed on everything, it would be very boring, but it would be very peaceful, right? We wouldn't rub or have friction with absolutely anybody else. But here's the thing. God created us all very differently. You know, we have people who are made differently on purpose. You understand? So we have people out there, a lot of them men, that love to solve problems, right? We want to fix things. And so when you bring us a problem, our first inclination is to fix the problem. The trouble is sometimes people with problems aren't in the place to fix them yet. Right now, they're still in the place where they want to talk them through and figure them out and work through the emotions and deal with all this stuff. And while the one who wants to solve their problems truly wants what's best for the other person, it's not the right answer right now. And so two well-meaning people can suddenly be in disagreement. Ever been there? Anybody married? I mean, this is life, isn't it? This is how it goes, is that, and that's not even having sin enter the picture where when, you know, all of a sudden we can have those moments when we're selfish, you know, because, and our temptation is to not deal with it, right? It's like this. I have here little tiny rocks, okay? Now, this represents the burden that I carry because somebody else annoys me. Okay? Is it big? Is it something I can manage? Should I just carry it? I mean, is it really worth even having a conversation about? Right? I mean, it's so small. It's no big deal. Right? So should I just carry it? Okay. Did I mention where I was going to carry it? It's little. It's no big deal. Until we have to carry it in a place where it really bothers us all the time. And then all of a sudden, it makes us grumpy. And wherever we're around that person that gives us this burden to carry, we don't like it. We are like, and here's the thing, nobody likes to be uncomfortable, right? Now you have a choice. How can I fix the problem? Do I get the stones out of my shoe? Or do I avoid the person so that I don't have to experience the hurt? What do you think? Now let's go back to the whole beginning here, right? What are we?
Family.
Do you get to pick your family? No. Does God tell us we're supposed to love our family? And in fact, he's more specific than that. Remember on Monday, Thursday when he talked to his disciples and he said, love each other. As I have loved you, I want you to love each other. Well, that's a lot. Because it was through his death and resurrection that we get to be family, right? I mean, here's the thing, is that Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, everything was perfect. Adam and Eve got along. It's the only marriage where they got along all the time. It was amazing. And then they blew it. You know, and the thing is that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, when sin entered the world, it didn't just destroy the relationship with God, it destroyed the relationship with each other. I mean, as soon as God walks into the garden, what does Adam and Eve do? They did it, right? It's the woman you gave me, God, you know? I mean, it's just, it's as soon as the sin entered the world, blaming began. And the question is, well, what are we going to do about that sin? Are the people that Jesus gave us to live with in family, these precious people that Jesus died for, right? So that they can be redeemed, the ones who Jesus counted worthy of his suffering, are they worth us having to put up with pain and discomfort? Are they worth getting the rocks out of our shoe so that we can live in community with them? There's another way that this works. Sometimes it isn't that we don't want to talk. Sometimes it's just a matter of we're holding back, right? Somebody sins against us. Not bad, yeah? Then they do it again. And again. And again. And again. What's going to happen? And what happens to the relationship? I mean, think about it. If you let things build up and build up and build up until you are absolutely out of control, livid, what happens to the relationship? I mean, it's not a relationship that dies due to neglect or just distance and just avoiding the other person. It dies because you will suddenly not be careful with your words and actions. You will suddenly be destructive with your words and actions. And here's the thing. The person that you're talking to, the person that's bothering you, how valuable is that person? Is it worth doing what's necessary so that the stress and anger doesn't build up? And you don't treat that person in a bad way. Is it worth it? Yeah, it's worth it. Jesus gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And he started the ministry, as always. He's the one that starts all this stuff, right? He started the ministry of reconciliation by dying on the cross for us. And in that ministry of reconciliation, he reconciled all the things that sin messed up, right? What he was going to do is first is reconcile us with God. We understand that, right? That God forgives us. We live in a new life in him, and that we can go to him and be with him because he is our Father and we are his children. And that is a beautiful part of the reconciliation. But there's more to the reconciliation, and that is that we are to be reconciled with one another. Because sin doesn't just distance us from God, it distances us from our brothers and sisters. It distances us from the other people that God created on this earth. It causes strife. It causes us to avoid each other. It causes us to hurt each other through neglect, through thoughtlessness, through malicious intent. All things end up the same way. We hurt people, and people hurt us. And here's a secret. While we are on this sinful planet and while sin still is in us, we will act this way. We don't want to, but we will. We want to do what's right. Paul talks about this, right? That for some reason, I'm trapped in this sinful body, and the right things that I want to do, I don't do, and the wrong things that I don't want to do, these are the things I keep doing. And so if we are going to live sinful in this world, and if we are to be surrounded by people who are precious to God and precious to us because they're precious to God, how do we live? And the answer is this. We bear our own burden, and we bear the burdens of the other people. It's what we do. And what that means is this: if somebody annoys us and puts a piece of gravel in our shoe, and the being around that person makes our foot hurt, are we going to stop being around that person? No, because that person is too valuable. We will cling to them, we will hold on to them, we will not let them go because they are loved by God and loved by us. You know exactly what I'm talking about if you're a parent. Children are not easy. They're difficult. They're inconvenient and they're expensive. And none of us would get rid of them, no matter what happened in this world, right? And we understand the idea of carrying a burden for somebody, knowing that we love them and knowing that we would do anything for them, but also knowing that this isn't going to be easy. And that's the relationship God wants us to have with each other as brothers and sisters in this church. The trouble is sometimes we want to see things our own way. We want to be the one being the judge, being in control. We get prideful and we absolutely know that we're right. Guys, the relationship is so much like this. It's my piece of glass. It's actually not glass. It's plexiglass. Don't be afraid. I won't hurt myself. But the thing is that you're living in life, and all of a sudden, somebody comes up to you and sins. They sin in a small way. We'll just call it a whisper. All right? Little tiny sin, no big deal. But it annoys you. All right? And so what are you going to do? You're going to talk. All right? Now, what are they going to do? Yell. Then what are they going to do? What's the other person going to do? You ever watch the classic Batman? Pow. What does the other one do? Biff. If you're Generation X and older, you totally get what I'm doing right now. And what happens? What's happening to this relationship? It's got a whole bunch of stuff in the way, right? Things are just getting worse all the time. Well, here's what we want. We are in this conversation now. Conversation. Argument. Conflict. And we are dealing with this other person, and what we are demanding is you apologize first. You do it. You're the one that started it. You're the one that made me mad. You're the one that did. You're the one, you know, and we can come up with all the reasons, but they should apologize first, right? They should deal with their sin. Everything that's on this side of the plexiglass is on them, and I want this fixed. And if they fix this, then I'll fix this. Right? What the Bible's telling us in this is that each person needs to bear their own burden. What does that mean? Does that mean that I'm supposed to deal with this first? Is this my burden? Is this the stuff that I have to worry about? Is this anything I can do anything about? Can I make them apologize? Can I make them sorry? Can I make them change? What is God telling us? You change. You apologize. And here's the thing. When you're in an argument, the first thing that's got to happen is this. You need to come clean. Because if you're going to go back into that argument just as angry and just as focused on your own will as you did before, and you're going to go re-engage that person, how's that going to turn out? What if instead, we prepare for the next conversation. And we prepare from the next conversation by us meditating on and thinking about the conversation we just had, but not going down that same litany of all the things they did wrong. Instead, what if we focus on what we brought to the party? What we said, what we did. The attitudes, the pride, the dismissal, the arrogance of thinking that we have it right and they couldn't possibly teach us anything. What if we dealt with our issues first and repented and go to God and ask for forgiveness? Be detailed. Think about it. Spend time on it. And do a good, thorough job of repenting for all the things that you brought into this conversation. And then go to the person and apologize to them for everything that you brought into the conversation. Does that mean you take responsibility for things that aren't you? No. Do you apologize in a way that points out all their sins? No. This is about you and what you brought to this party. And so you come with humility, kindness, valuing them, and you clean your side of the board first. How do you think the conversation can go now? Is it always going to turn out great? No. But will you have done your job? Will you have, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody? Will you have learned and humbly come before your God and confessed your sins, which is never a bad idea, always a great exercise? Have you had a chance to learn more about your own sin and the battles that you're going to have to deal with? Have you made it, put yourself in a position where you will be less likely to get into such a conflict in the future? Have you, in a small way, conformed your life a little bit more to the gospel and to the faith that our God has given us, which is the very work of the church and Christians? It's what we do, is we work to conform our life to the faith and the truth that our God has given us. So even if the other person doesn't respond the way we want them to, even if they are willful and not going to, they're just too angry to come back, they're just not going to play that, even then, have you grown? But likely, it'll work out better than that. Might not be in the first conversation, the person might need time. You know what I'm saying? It takes us time to grow to get to the point where we can do this. It might take them time to grow to the point where they can see their sin and deal with this. But is our brothers and sisters in Christ worth it? Are they worth the struggle? And so the question is this: when we come to God with this, with the right, when we come to the end of the conversation with the right attitude, and we come to the conversation, if you've just confessed all your sin, are you going to come to the conversation proud? Are you going to be arrogant? You're going to be freshly reminded of all of your shortcomings, right? Is that going to make you more tolerant of the shortcomings of somebody else? Yeah. And here's what the Bible tells us. If a brother sins, restore them. Don't walk away. Restore them gently. Not harshly, not with sandpaper, but gently, with compassion, with love, with forgiveness, with long-sufferingness. And folks, our God has given us a task. Jesus talks about it all the time. He says, blessed are the peacemakers, right? He talks about the people who come into this world and make the world a better place for having been there. Even in this list of, okay, so here, let's get practical. What are the things that God wants us to do when we talk to our brothers? We come to them and we talk to them in a series of meetings, right? We talk about, we go to them and we say, we talk to them just with them, and if they won't listen, and it's not just one conversation just with them, it's like an extended process of talking and talking and talking and trying to come to peace. And if you can't come to peace, then come to them with somebody else, a wise brother or sister, somebody who can help. And if that doesn't work, then you go to them with, you know, a larger group and larger group until it's the entire church. And the idea is not to prove that you're right. The idea is to restore your brother, to restore the relationship. That's the goal. It's not about being right. It's about restoring. And this is the ministry that our God has given us. And folks, it's not just that we have the ministry of reconciliation, that we should be reconciled ourselves to all the people around us, but it's also that when somebody comes to us with angry words about a conflict that they're having with somebody else, we can either steer them into more anger and tell them how right they are and how they have every right to be angry and how the other person is a terrible person for having done this to them. Is that working toward reconciliation between our brothers? Or can we guide them to have a heart that is in line with what God wants, that we would not just be reconciled with our brothers, but that we would be agents of reconciliation in the greater church, that we would encourage people to go through the process, confess your sins, be frank and honest with God. Don't be gentle with ourselves. Be gentle with them. You know, be savage with yourself. Be sure about your sin. Be clear about exactly what you did. Go right down to the heart and attitudes, not just the things you did. Confess those things and then help that person to restore their relationship with their brothers and sisters. Is this easy? Just took a really good marriage class by one of my favorite teachers. My wife. Anyway, and in the marriage class, what the first session redefined marriage said, look, everybody thinks marriage is all about happily ever after. It's all about the romantic ideal, right? And they said, marriage is not about that. Marriage is about work. It just is. This is what it is. And the reason it's about work is because it's about a relationship. And relationships are hard. And the closer the relationship, the harder it is. It doesn't change when it comes to the church. If we are brothers and sisters, how close is our relationship? How much harder is that going to make it? Is it worth the work? And so this is what we do. We strive with each other. We work to have peace. We work to have understanding. We work, we talk, we correct, we rebuke, we study God's word. We are humble enough to know that we might be wrong. That's important to have in your head. That when you disagree with somebody on something like theology, that you don't just go head to head, but you go to the word and you dig through the word together. And one of the things that happens when you struggle with the word of God together and the Holy Spirit comes upon the two of you trying to find God's truth, do you think that's unifying? Do you think that builds and grows the relationship between people? I think sometimes the reason that God gives us some places in the Bible that are hard to understand and answers that are hard to find is so that we'll be forced to go to the Word together and struggle with God. And in that struggle, God shows us how to love. So my friends, let's love one another. Let's love one another with stubbornness, all the stubbornness with which God loves you. Let's love one another. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would just continue to be with us as your church, Lord. Lord, this is such an amazing group of people, Lord. Such a wonderful family. Every single one with blessings that you have given them. Lord, I pray that you would continue to grow us. Help us, Lord, to grow closer to each other, at the same time growing closer to you. Help us to walk out this ministry of reconciliation, healing relationships, Lord, so that we can properly reflect your glory and all that you did for us. Thank you, Lord, for all this. In your name we pray. Amen.
For us, now that's beyond all measure.
Please stand as we confess our shared faith with the words of the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Heavenly Father, life with others is messy. I pray that you would grant us humility and wisdom when we seek to restore relationships with others. Help us as we strive to be at peace with everyone. Guide us as we serve others by encouraging them to turn away from sin. Enliven all of us by your Spirit, that we would set aside our pride and work with and for each other. Lord, we come before you today with the prayers of our people. We pray for Zach Hafner that you would grant him wisdom in all things as he's going through divorce. We pray thanksgiving that Matt Gamewell's cornea is fully healed. We pray that you would be with Laura Wallner as she has neck surgery tomorrow. Give her peace in this process and guide the surgeon and those who are giving her care. We pray that you be with Josh Liebman as he's having continued tests and guide the doctors as they're assessing all the various tests and determine what is the best course of treatment. We thank you that Ed Ployer is continuing to recover, and I pray that you would give him strength and continue to recover after a major surgery. Pray that you be with Pastor Bob as he has surgery tomorrow, that you would guide the doctors who are giving him care. And Lord, I thank you that Mark Holloway came through a recent surgery and pray that you continue to help him recover. Lord, we also pray that you would be with all first responders, and especially pray that you would be with the police. Help them as they serve in the vocation of leading, caring, and protecting other people. Grant them wisdom and protection. And Lord, I pray that you would be with Momco. We thank you for the blessing of that ministry and pray that you would guide the leadership, help them to serve well all the moms who are part of that group, as well as caring for the children who come. And pray that that would be a wonderful ministry and that women would pour into and support other women and be served. All these things we pray in Jesus' holy precious name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
The reason that I sing is for the God of all my compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior.
Please stand. And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
Thank you. praise God and let His kingdom reign. On earth just like in heaven, His Spirit with us, free in one.
Praise God, the Father, Spirit, Son. Alleluia. 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 Praise God, the Father, Spirit, Son. Alleluia. 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 Praise God, the Father, Spirit,
Well, thank you once again for joining us in worship. At this time, I'd like to invite all the Sunday school students to go ahead and meet Miss Lauren in the back. And there will be cake at Sunday school. So if you're going past the cake and you're like, ooh, I want that, there's going to be cake at Sunday school. So just go on right to Miss Lauren. Excellent. With that in mind, I'd like to invite actually Miss Joan Doshley forward to talk a little bit about LWML.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Joni Doshley, and I get the privilege of talking to all of you this morning and thanking you from the bottom of our hearts here at St. Mark's for all of your kindness and your monies that you have given so graciously and generously to our LWML. Now, LWML means Lutheran Women in Missions. Every one of you that is a woman are welcome to join this club. It's not a club. It's an auxiliary of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And you are part of that group. Here at St. Mark's, we have been a member of LWML for 60 years. Can you imagine that? Give yourselves a hand. That's a long time. As a matter of fact, I was a teenager when I remember my mother coming home from a ladies' aid meeting and saying, we are part of the LWML. And she was so proud of that. And she explained to me what an honor it was for all of the ladies here at St. Mark's to be a part of this group. We are a mission society that doesn't just work with our missions here at St. Mark's, although we do that too. But we give our mites to people all around the world. And when you see this great big giant box out there under the brown dove, do you know some people have never seen that brown dove out there? It's right there in the corner, and underneath that dove is a big box, and you'll see it out on the table today. We ask you, when your heart is moved, little mites, into this box, and when we say mites, we mean pennies, quarters, nickels, dimes, whatever you have. We're not just asking for your money. We're asking for your prayers, too. So when you put your little coins in these boxes, think about all the mission grants and the monies that this money and these mites are going for. When you go out to pick up your cake today, we ask you to take a look at these cards. The first card says, 2005 to 2027 mission grants. Many people were at a convention in June that was in Omaha, Nebraska. At that time, they put together 31 different grant proposals, and here they are. Right here, your money is going to these grants. Now, in Cape Girardeau, which is coming up in June of this year, the Missouri District of LWML has already put together 10 grants. Now, that doesn't sound like many, but that's from the churches right here in your state of Missouri. You've put together these 10 grants. As a matter of fact, when you look at these grants on these cards, take a look at the different titles and organizations that they represent. There's one that was kind of in my heart, and it was called Friends of Philip, or Philip's Friends. Let me see if I could find it. This would happen. I'd lose it on my car. It was called Philip's Friends, Friends of Philip's. Oh, dear. Well, you'll just have to find it on the card. Anyway, when I was in the middle of my chemotherapy about 5 years ago, a man came up to where I was having my treatment, and he said, could I pray with you? And he told me that he was from this group called Friends of Philip's, and it was so nice to have him come to me, and he gave me a couple gifts, and he prayed with me. And right there was that grant that I remembered had come from LWML and will be as you put your mites in. So let me get to the end. Our theme in LWML is serving the Lord with gladness. Today we're serving cake to everyone. We have another opportunity to serve others. On November 22nd, which is a Saturday, our women's ministry here at St. Mark's will be serving our resident neighbors at Hilltop Manor, which is now called Evertrue Hilltop Heights, a Thanksgiving luncheon. We have a sign-up notebook at the connection desk for volunteers to serve the Lord with gladness. If you have any questions about this group or any women's program at St. Mark's, please ask one of the ladies in the back. And we don't all have gray hair, okay? So I just want to let you know. As a matter of fact, we're looking for all of you girls that are red hair, brown hair, black hair, blondes. Please join in working with women's ministry and Lutheran Women in Missions. Thank you for your time this morning.
All right. Thank you, Joni. A couple other quick things. One, we do have Bible class today. Again, there's Janine Liebman's was mentioned in the sermon today. Is it the last one? Seen or not? So yeah, last one on marriage. But even if you haven't been, it's a great study, so go check it out. Also, we have a more general study as we're going through the book of Haggai. And God building his church. So we're doing that in the youth room, also known as the asylum. If you have any questions on where to find that, you can talk to me, talk to Pastor Bob. We'll point you in the right direction. And then there's First Communion class starting today. And again, I was told there is cake there. So again, if you're First Communion class, go straight to class. Cake will be there for you. Two things. One, next Sunday is time change. Falling back. So just be aware of that. I mean, if you want to get here at 8 a.m., that's cool, but just be mindful of that change. And lastly, we have a door offering today, and this is to help with providing Thanksgiving meals. We had a generous donor who gave, if I'm not mistaken, 50 turkeys as a donation. And so there's a group of ladies who are working together to then supplement those turkeys with additional Thanksgiving meal food, but looking for then support for that. And so that's what the door offering is for today, to help buy the additional, you know, fixins that you might have for a full Thanksgiving meal. So if you feel so moved, then please contribute to that. That is my last announcement. Thank you. But blessings. So glad you could join us today. God be with you this week.